Welcome to the M&A Cornercast, a podcast focused on the world of mergers and acquisitions, helping inform the business owners and advisors we work with every day. I'm your host, Chuck Dallas. I have more than 10 years of experience with mergers and acquisitions, both from a corporate perspective and as an outside advisor. Today, we welcome Jeff Bartels, Vice President with Cornerstone Business Services. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for visiting with us. And Jeff, I understand you're fairly new to Cornerstone and, you know, you're based on the West Coast. So can you give a little bit of background on yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and being out in the West Coast?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks. I received my MBA at USC Marshall here in Los Angeles and my Bachelor's of Science in Biochemistry and Cell Biology at University of California, San Diego, where I reside actually now. Prior to coming aboard with Cornerstone, I most recently served as Deputy Director to the CFO at MedMen Enterprises, which is a vertically integrated multi-state operator in the cannabis space. When I joined the PE firm Treehouse Capital in 2017, MedMen was the lead portfolio company. And after coming aboard and getting my bearings, the CFO and I quickly realized the unique moment we were in. And within months, we're planning our path to taking MedMen public via an RTO. For listeners not familiar, an RTO is a reverse takeover. It's a go public process where a private company identifies a public company within a jurisdiction or market, basically, that they want to access. The private company gains control of the public company via stock purchases or through various other mechanisms. In our case, specifically, because cannabis is still federally illegal in the United States, that go public market that we wanted to access was Canada. And so the company that we reverse took over was a Canadian-based company. Yeah, while I was not an expert in cannabis space initially, I was drawn to those challenges and opportunities. Taking an enterprise public to directly providing a safe and compliant consumer harbor for patients to access their preferred medicines to, you know, possibly helping build a formal therapeutic path away from opiates. You know, these larger initiatives, you know, were really close to my heart in my time there. I could go on as to my personal beliefs in the potential of the space, but I'll keep it short and say I believe history will prove that cannabis provides an essential pillar for healthcare treatments, kind of across the spectrum of care. And of course, time will tell. You know, I have high hopes for the industry, even though I am not currently, you know, neck deep in it anymore. Yeah. So, but prior to MedMen, my focus for over 15 years was in biotechnology and research and development, where I was in both on the research and business environment side. I worked for organizations like the Salk Institute in the molecular neurobiology lab, two large multinationals. I transitioned off the bench ultimately and managed a $10 million portfolio of products at Life Technologies and helped sunset a swath of underperforming dogs and transitioned those customers to higher margin products. So I've just been kind of all over the board, Chuck, with my experience in healthcare and biotechnology and R&D. Use that analytical quiver, you know, daily to support business owners here on the M&A front now.
Excellent. And Jeff, what an impressive resume that you put together, and you're not even that old.
I just turned 40. Yeah, just in March. I just turned 40. So, you know, we're never as young as we want to be, right, Chuck?
That's exactly right. You know, so with that background, how did you find your way to the M&A world?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I pride myself on being able to connect with anyone involved in the transaction from boots on the ground to the C-suite. MedMen had a voracious appetite for acquisition, and that provided me ample opportunity to develop a deeper appreciation of not just the nuanced finance pieces, which of course there are many, you know, while you can see sitting behind a screen, but really what it feels like to be on the ground with a buyer or seller, you know, being able to recognize what that party on the other side of the table truly needs, regardless of their communicating explicitly or not, and marrying that with what we needed to have a fruitful transaction. So just that love really budded inside of me. And then I, along with my business partner, Chris, form an organization called the Genesee Group, which we then have come aboard with Cornerstone within 6 months to help build out the healthcare, life science, West Coast presence aspect of the business.
Excellent. You know, Jeff and I have somewhat of a similar background in that I did some buying and selling of businesses before I come to Cornerstone. That is great experience, isn't it? To kind of know, here's what, as a buyer, what they're looking at, whether it be the financial side or even the due diligence side. It's really a nice insight to be able to help people when you're on the sell side, isn't it?
You know, it really is. There is no substitution for being able to speak from experience with a business owner, to be able to look them in the eye and be able to level set and let them know that you've seen whatever challenge that is ahead of them before, and to help bring their blood pressure down and to be able to really guide them through those next steps as efficiently as possible.
Right. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about the healthcare industry. You know, it's still crazy. We still have this pandemic that's out there. So what are the unique challenges facing healthcare companies right now?
Sure. Yeah. You know, Chuck, you're right. It's a tricky time for everyone right now, not just healthcare companies. Owners across the spectrum that we've been speaking with of all businesses are looking at their financials, wondering where they can be more efficient, more lean, more capable of withstanding future unforeseen events, such as the one that you mentioned that we're currently in. You know, no one is untouched by this. And I'm very sympathetic and empathetic to all of those who are experiencing difficulty right now. But for healthcare companies specifically, supply chain is probably the number one unique challenge for them. I mean, there's an unprecedented change in the landscape, as there is a shift from, you know, a majority of raw materials being made in China to globally trying to diversify that deficit, if you want to call it that. You know, Medicare reimbursement rates, again, with Obamacare or the ACA, Affordable Care Act, continuing to be rolled out across the country, that is morphing in real time. And I would say outcomes-based reimbursement also has changed for everyone involved, from patient care to the insurance provider side of things. I mean, there's a myriad of challenges, certainly, but I would identify those kind of as the top ones.
Okay, great. Jeff, I serve on a hospital board here in Wisconsin, and
yeah,
you know, there's some of the myths that are out there. Boy, you know, the hospitals and clinics, they're just making a lot of money right now, and it couldn't be the furthest from the truth.
Right.
Because really, the normal operations and things that they would do on a normal basis have just been shut off.
Sure.
So it is a struggling time for some people in the healthcare, isn't it?
It certainly is. What are you seeing on the front lines, Chuck?
Well, really, for us, luckily, where we're at here in northeastern Wisconsin, it's not as bad from a COVID perspective. So actually, we're talking about going out to the citizens and talking to them about, hey, you can come in for that physical now. If you needed to get that elective surgery that was postponed during the COVID time period, it's fine to come back in. Yes, you still have the social distancing, the masks, all of the preventive measures that you take, but we're not keeping people out the door.
That's good.
For our area, yes, that's very good, because otherwise the financials do not look very pretty
right
year to date in 2020.
Yeah, I think, and from a hospital perspective, I think having clear communication to their customer base, which is your patients for the most part, having clear communication to your patients about the steps you have taken to protect them, because we all have, you know, our blood pressure all goes up when we think about going into an enclosed environment, especially one that might be surrounded by a large number of other sick people. Wow. And so, you know, being able to communicate to them the measures that you guys have all taken to protect their health and safety, I think will be paramount to helping us all get back to some semblance of normal, whatever that looks like.
Right. And part of that, Jeff, you know, what do you think are the factors that will help the healthcare industry be positioned for success as we get into a new normal?
Sure. Yeah. Great question. Kind of speaking back to my challenge points, demonstrating a real command of this changing landscape of regulation and reimbursement and the interplay there, kind of speaking, you know, not to fluff you up too much, but having a sophisticated and deep management bench, being able to rely on real leaders in business who have a different perspective, you know, an acute eye towards not necessarily numbers, but being able to kind of to be able to pair, you know, the need for having, you know, to be cash flow positive with, you know, also having that balance and putting the patients first is huge, and also a strong support system and respect for those in the organizations on the front lines of patient care, the doctors and nurses and LVMs and volunteers and the people who are really doing the hardest work of all on behalf of the rest of us. I think those are some of the best ways that I would position myself for success in that environment. And if you can kind of picture a Venn diagram, kind of an overlap between those who have experience in M&A and those who can wear kind of a clinical care hat, you know, that intersection is exceedingly small, right? So being able to be in a seat where you have the ability to impact from all those different perspectives is incredibly valuable in a time like this.
Well, and I think a good thing coming out of this is that the healthcare workers, you know, and you could look at the full spectrum, have become essential workers, and it's become a popular profession for our young people to say, you know what, I think I want to be in the healthcare industry. So there shouldn't be, I mean, there could be, but there shouldn't be a lag or a bit of a gap in what we have for employees that are able right. to help the healthcare industry grow into the future, don't you think?
I certainly agree that. My mom and my grandmother are both nurses. We're both nurses. They're both alive, but they're both retired. And yeah, I have a great and deep admiration and respect for all those who choose this field as their life ambition. Very right. much so.
Yep. So Jeff, you know, from your position now with on the sell side and on the buy side out in the West Coast, how would you advise your business owners in the healthcare space that maybe are looking to transition in the next, 1 to 3 years?
Sure. Yeah, I think if this is something that is part of your strategic plan and you're considering an exit or a recapitalization or some other element in the next couple of years, I mean, there's a laundry list of internal housekeeping items that you can action now to put yourself in the best position then, getting your finances in order, putting the right team in place, et cetera, that you can really start to put into place now that are inexpensive and low impact on day-to-day operations, but really will significantly increase the value that your company or organization commands when you ultimately go to market. If I may say so, working with an advisor well in advance of that target is worth its weight in gold. Shameless plug, but it's worth its weight in gold. There is really no substitute for someone who knows the ins and outs.
Exactly. We've talked about this in some of our other sessions that we have, Jeff. It just, there's some business owners that really start paying attention to their financials just before they're ready to sell.
Right.
And that's really not what you should do. Like you mentioned, find a team, find that CPA, find the attorney, find the financial advisor to work with an M&A advisor and the seller and get yourself organized.
You Absolutely know, right.
What would be your tax liability if you sold today? And is it enough for you to retire? And so knowing some of those things, so you know what your true takeaway is at the time of sale is just an important piece.
Couldn't agree more. You're a CPA, aren't you, Chuck?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought so. Yeah. You've been an invaluable resource to me over the years.
Just a trained bean counter, Jeff.
Too funny.
So I'm going to switch gears away from healthcare and you know, it intrigues me with your background in the cannabis industry. So with some of your past knowledge, I know you're not doing that today, but
sure.
You know, what is the current status of the cannabis industry on the West Coast?
Let's see. Gosh, West Coast, you know, it is far, far afield from where it was when I was involved in 17, 18, 19. You know, it was the Wild West. It is a little bit to an extent, but in terms of valuations of organizations and dispensaries or the real value that was being purchased in an M&A transaction was access to a license or access to a market and, you know, how we determined the health of X market or Y market. It was great. We were paying, gosh, 3 times revenue all day We were, and a lot of times we were buying licenses outright from companies that were pre-revenue. It was just a gobble up as much as you can while you can, because the sky is the limit for the future. And for very many different reasons, from, you know, legislation kind of being slow to pass, or the black and or gray markets being kind of further buttressed by the tax structures in place, which I believe you should pay tax on that business. Absolutely. I think the tax amount that is being put upon cannabis companies right now is a lot, and that state and local governments obviously see an opportunity there to continue to top off their coffers. And I do not blame them, but the unforeseen downside of that governmental strategy was a resurgence, a bolstering of the black and gray markets, because as a legitimate operator, MedMen had to charge a premium because we had to cover our overhead costs, plus we had to cover taxes and everything else. And those who are working outside of the system had far more leeway to play the price game and to sell more volume at a much lower price. Now, of course, you wouldn't have the safety protections that are in place with a licensed organization and everything else therein. But yeah, so today the landscape is certainly more tepid from an M&A perspective. We're seeing, I would say, 0.7 to 1 times revenue being paid now, which is certainly a far cry from where it was a year or two ago. Right. And even 1 times revenue is aggressive. This was even before COVID came into play. So I haven't spoken with my colleagues in the cannabis space in a month or so, but I can only imagine that it has had a, you know, even more of a downward effect on the activity therein. Mm-hmm. For those who have cash to spend, there are deals to be had kind of across the M&A board. You know, we're seeing this in healthcare and in manufacturing, but also I have to imagine in cannabis, you know, those who have been patient, who have dry powder to execute, can pick up some deals here while those selling businesses or individuals are maybe looking to, you know, recoup a little bit of capital.
You know, Jeff, I truly appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Chuck.
And joining us from out in sunny California. Folks, Jeff Bartels, Vice President with Cornerstone Business Services, visiting with us today. Jeff, thank you again. Take care.
Happy to. Appreciate your time. Stay safe out there, okay?
Thanks, you too.
Thank you for tuning in to the M&A Cornercast. Hopefully we gave you some insight into the world of mergers and acquisitions. We'll see you back again next Thursday with a brand new episode.